ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ भगवद्गीता चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 32 विल इवन फिनिश 33 एंड 34 फर्स्ट विल रीड द 32nd वर्स। श्री भगवानुवा कालोस्मि लोकस्य कृता प्रवृद्धो लोकान् समार्तुम् इह प्रावृत्ता ऋतेऽपि त्वां न भविष्यन्ति सर्वे ये वस्तिता प्रत्यनिक्षूय योद्धः Purport and translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Time I am the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people. Within the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. Purport. Although Arjuna knew that Krishna was his friend and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was puzzled by the various forms exhibited by Krishna. Therefore, he asked further about the actual mission of this devastating force. It is written in the Vedas that the Supreme Truth destroys everything, even the Brahmanas, as stated in the Katha Upanishad 1.2.25. Yasya Brahma cha Shatram cha Ube Bhavata Adhana Mrityur Yasyopasechanam Ka ita veda yatra saha. Eventually, all the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and everyone else are devoured like a meal by the Supreme. This form of the Supreme Lord is an all-devouring giant, and here Krishna presents himself in that form of all-devouring time. Except for a few Pandavas, everyone who was present on the battlefield would be devoured by him. Arjuna was not in favor of the fight, and he thought it was better not to fight. Then there would be no frustration. In reply, the Lord is saying that even if he did not fight, every one of them would be destroyed, for that was his plan. If Arjuna stopped fighting, they would die in another way. Death could not be checked even if he did not fight. In fact, they were already dead. Time is destruction, and all manifestation are to be vanquished by the desire of the Supreme Lord. That is the law of nature. We'll read the verse 33 and 34. Tasmatvam mutishta yaso labasva jiva satrun bhungshvara jayam samriddha mayavate nihata purvameva nimitta matram bhavasavyasachi. Translation, therefore get up. Prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement. And you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Savyasachi refers to one who can shoot arrows very expertly in the field. Thus Arjuna is addressed as an expert warrior capable of delivering arrows to kill his enemies. Just become an instrument, nimitta matram. This word is also very significant. The whole world is moving according to the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Foolish persons who do not have sufficient knowledge think that the nature is moving without a plan, and all manifestation are accidental formations. There are many so-called scientists who suggest that perhaps it was like this or maybe like that, but there is no question of perhaps and maybe. There is a specific plan being carried out in this material world. What is this plan? This cosmic manifestation is a chance for the conditioned souls to go back home, back to Godhead. As long as they have the domineering mentality which makes them try to lord it over the material nature, they are conditioned. But anyone who can understand the plan of the Supreme Lord and cultivate Krishna consciousness is most intelligent. The creation and destruction of the cosmic manifestation are under the superior guidance of God. Thus the battle of Kurukshetra was fought according to the plan of God. Arjuna was refusing to fight, but he was told that he should fight in accordance with the desire of the Supreme Lord. Then he would be happy. If one is in full Krishna consciousness and his life is devoted to the Lord's transcendental service, he is perfect. Text 34. Dronam cha bhishmam cha jayadratam cha karnam tatanyam api yodha viran maya hatam swam jayime vyavastitha yudhyasya jheta siranes sapatnam. Translation. Drona, Bhishma, Jayadrata, Karna and the other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Therefore kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight and you will vanquish your enemies in battle. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Every plan is made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is so kind and merciful to his devotees that he wants to give the credit to his devotees who carry out his plan according to his desire. Life should therefore move in such a way that everyone acts in Krishna consciousness and understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of a spiritual master. The plans of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are understood by his mercy, and the plans of the devotees are as good as his plans. One should follow such plans and be victorious in the struggle for existence. Hare Krishna. In fact, when Gokulananta gave me this verse, I said that it's a very good thing, especially in the month of Kartik, to speak. Of course, it is a very favorable month, but more important is this Damodarashtakam is a saving grace for one who doesn't have much subject, because maximum time is removed by the song. And I think only 15-20 minutes I'll just speak, so that even the devotees can attend the Shayan Darshan of the Lord. So, today's verse, the Lord clearly specifies what is the most important thing in this material world. Everyone knows, from beginning onwards, even from our school days, our mentors and our teachers, when we were students, everyone used to say, oh, children, don't waste time. They know that, oh, time is very precious. Everyone, like we were, even during the exams or early days, like if we give maximum time for playing, then the parents and children, teachers, please be careful, don't waste time, time is very precious. But hardly anyone understands the depth of this sentence. Time is precious, but in what sense? That makes a lot of difference. Very important, that word time is very precious is true. But for what purpose are you utilizing that precious time? For something which is very important activity which will help you derive great benefit in the future, or something penny wise and pound foolish? That is very important. The statement makes a lot of sense, but does that realization is there? So unless and until we do not know time is very precious, we don't know how precious it is. Because there was an early days, like, because it says that in English saying that once the time is lost, even if you pay millions of dollars, you cannot get it back. That is very important. So the scriptures, taking this very gist of this sentence, they elaborated to such an extent that one who can understand the importance of time, he will not even waste a single moment of his human existence. That is very important. The purpose of human existence is so important. Prabhupada says that is what Krishna is like. Krishna, like Prabhupada says it, some people do not accept, oh, where is this Lord? But Krishna himself clarifies that I am the time. I am the time destroying of everything. Everything in this world which is created has to be destroyed. However you try to protect it, however you try to preserve it, but nothing, no experimental, no particular development, scientific development can preserve anything in this material world, for everything will be destroyed. It is arranged. It is arranged. This world is arranged in such a way that whatever is created has to be destroyed. And who is the cause of all destruction? That is the Supreme Lord, Krishna. See, Krishna is saying, how I destroy it? If you want to accept me, I am there, it's okay. But if you are considering yourself in the atheistic mentality, But naturally I come as a time. Time and the destroyer of everything. In the death personified, the Lord comes and destroys everything. Destroys everything, whatever, whether matter or whether human body or anything which is connected. Everything will be destroyed. So Prabhupada even says that, like, how can we know that nothing is permanent in this material world? Because so many great leaders have come on this earth planet. Like there is one chapter in this, in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Mother Earth is speaking. She is speaking that so many people have come and claimed this, this land, this is my property, this is my place. But now it has become an history. So whatever at present situation, it will all become an history. Because nothing can be gained. So Prabhupada was saying in the lecture, like, how powerful is the Supreme Lord in the form of His time? Where are those great personalities on the material angle? Where are those great people like Hitler, Napoleon, and so many great leaders in the past? No one can survive this wave, tidal wave of time in the form of death personified. Is so powerful that no one can subsist that force. Even though, that's why Prabhupada here mentioned, he quotes that verse from the Katha Upanishad, that even Brahmanas, whoever you may be in a Sattva Guna, you may be in a Rajo Guna, you may be anyone, but this particular thing, that time in the form of death, cannot be withstood by any amount of force or any amount of strength. It is so powerful. So Prabhupada says that that's the reason an intelligent man should always think that any time he can die. Any time he can die. Prabhupada gives one nice analogy. You can see in the early days, like one of the saying in those early days. He quotes that if a person wants to earn money, he should never think of death. Because if he thinks of death, then he cannot earn money. Because he'll get completely disturbed that what will I do with so much thing that I am accumulated already in the past, and what will I do which I am going to accumulate, then he'll not be able to function. But if a person wants to attain an eternal life, he should constantly remember that the next neighbor sitting to him is the death personified. Practically speaking, every person, whether in this room or whether outside the gate, anything, any living entity who has got a material body, he should know that one person is always standing with a hammer behind his head, on his head. And that is death personified. And this hammer is just dangling on the head. And in any time, the flick of a second or most unexpected time, this hammer can fall on that head. So it is like, you can say, you can say 100%, that's why the statement goes that as sure as death, this hammer will but naturally fall on everyone's head. But very few are those intelligent people who know that this hammer is going to fall. And very much of the people do not know that the death personified is standing next to him. So that's the reason Prabhupada says that a person who wants to have a self-realization, an eternal kingdom of God or eternal life, you should always be conscious that any time he'll be going to leave his body. Then his only purpose is that how should I escape? How should I escape this cycle of birth, death, old age and disease? How should I escape this? He's constantly, I do not want to die. But why? How should I avoid it? His constant contemplation, his constant thought, his constant thinking will be that how? Somehow or the other I should escape. But a person who doesn't want, he wants to be completely like in the sense of ostrich mentality, just digging your head under the ground and you don't want to know the reality, then Prabhupada says that don't think of death. Don't think of death because you will not be able to function. Actually, really speaking, whenever like you see outside world, if you say, see, what is the purpose? See, ultimately you are going to give up everything. Ultimately death is going to take everything. So the answer of those normal outside people, they say that, so why don't you die now? This is not the way to function. Death is there, but we know that death is going to come. That doesn't mean you should stop functioning. But Prabhupada says in the scripture that ultimately if a person knows the reality, whatever action he does, whatever purpose of his life existence is there, he will utilize in such a way that ultimately I should remember the Lord at the time of death. That is the center of all, the goal of every human existence. That is very important. So even Prabhupada is saying, that's the reason like devotees don't endeavor much for accumulation. They don't accumulate much. Because they know that whatever is required, that's more than enough. This life should be designed in such a way that it should be designed so that you can endeavor for your need rather than endeavoring for your greed. And regarding this need, then the word endeavor even doesn't exist at all. Because if you are need oriented, then the law of nature and the nature is provided in such a way that even an ant gets whatever is required. So you need not have to endeavor much. But if you are behind our greed, then the word endeavor applies. So Prabhupada says that's the reason this Krishna conscious movement is functioning in such a way that whatever we get it, that's more than enough. That's more than enough. We do not try to endeavor much for unnecessary accumulation of material gadgets or material accumulation. Whatever is required to sustain this body and soul together, that's more than enough. So that's the reason Chanakya Pandit says that the real intelligent man is the one who considers others' wealth as garbage or pebbles, because he knows the reality that these things will be destroyed by the inevitable time in the form of death. So what is the purpose of me being envious of others' wealth or me being greedy for others' wealth? Because rather it may come to me or rather it may stay with him, but ultimately everyone has to leave. So intelligent man, Chanakya Pandit says, he considers every wealth as garbage. Neither he gets adored by all those wealth, neither he feels that why don't I have it. Neither he repents. Whatever he is got, he is completely satisfied. So that is real intelligence. So Prabhupada says that how a person can get this knowledge? When he comes to know that everything in this material world is temporary. Anything, whatever is there. Today I am staying in such a comfortable place. Tomorrow I will be kicked into such a most discomfort. This is a law of nature. But real intelligence is that I don't want up and down. Some or the other, let me be situated in such a place where I can constantly engage in the service of the Lord. That is real intelligence. Then, Prabhupada, here one particular thing which I found very significant. The Lord, especially while mentioning this verse, he says that I have come here to destroy all the people with the exception of you, with the exception of you, the Pandavas. All the soldiers here on the both sides will be slain. This has got a lot of significance. With the exception of you. That's why Prabhupada says that this Krishna conscious movement is no loss. It is no loss. Whatever a little amount of benefit has got a big greatest gain. There is no loss. Because the Lord says that even if a little amount of devotional service performed to me, I have sold out myself to that person. I have become their protector. Otherwise, how can the Lord mention these words with the exception that you Pandavas, other than you Pandavas, everyone will be destroyed? That means the Lord here indirectly he proclaims that because you Pandavas are my devotees, that's the reason I'll protect you. Because Arjuna, you are my dearest devotee. That's why I'll protect you. The scriptures, that's why says, mention one of the name of the Lord as Pandava Sakha or Pandava Bandhu. Actually, one more name of the Lord is Partha Sakhe. Because it is said that the friendship, if you want to see in this material world, there are a lot of friendship. But the reflection, the original friendship, if you want to see, is the friendship between Krishna and Arjuna. That friendship is very tightly bounded, and that is the original friendship. Whatever friendship you see in this material world is just a mere reflection of that friendship. Because the Lord is adored by that name. Do any of us are adored by someone, our friend's name? No one derives much pleasure. But the Lord derives a pleasure to be addressed as Partha Sakhe or Partha Sarathi. That I am the driver of my Arjuna. of my friend. That is the beauty of the Lord. Here, that's why he mentions that, O Arjuna, O Pandava, other than you, everyone will be destroyed. The Lord here, that's why broadly proclaims, that declare it Arjuna, why I am going to protect you? Because you are my devotee. You are surrendered to me, that's why I am going to protect you. Actually, really speaking, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sripad Vyasadeva, before mentioning any of this thing, he first mentions in that entire first chapter, in the first canto, about these five Pandavas and their mother Kunti. That is the first explanation of Sripad Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because he knows that the Lord has already sold out his entire existence for these Pandavas. Like it has seen that time and again, anyone has read the Srimad Bhagavatam or Mahabharata, we have seen that time and again the Lord has always protected the five Pandavas. And one point, even if we read the purport of first canto, because Prabhupada, especially after he went to the United States, he was mentioning to some of his disciples, I thought that I will not be able to survive till I finish the entire 12 cantos. So I thought that let me put the maximum in the first canto. So if anyone who has inquisitive study about the Lord, if you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, Prabhupada has put maximum in the first canto. Whatever he could give. At the age of 70, he thought, let me give the maximum. Even if a person cannot finish the other cantos, if he reads the first canto of Bhagavatam, is more than enough. So that's the reason in the first canto, Prabhupada mentions so much thing. And there at one point, in one of the purports, Prabhupada says that regarding the devotion of Mother Kunti and Mother Devaki, Kunti's devotion is much more attracting to the Supreme Lord. Kunti's devotion is much more attracting to the Supreme Lord. What is the reason, can anyone say? What is the reason why Kunti's devotion is much more attracting to the Supreme Lord rather than Devaki? He compares it to Devaki. So Prabhupada mentions there that because Mother Kunti, she was a widow. Whereas Devaki, she had at least her husband with her to support, to have some mental support. But Kunti, when she was mere in her youth, and all her children's were infant, that time Maharaj Pandu left his body and she was helpless, and she had completely devoted her life to the Supreme Lord. So her devotion was more attracting to the Supreme Lord. Of course, it is in a different understanding, but Prabhupada mentions in this one of his purports. So because that's the reason here he says that because Arjuna, time and again I'll protect you. Because from the beginning onwards we see that Pandavas were always put into calamities. They were always put into calamities. When Bhima was a mere boy, that time Duryodhana had put poison and he was killed. But somehow or the other, by Lord's intervention, he was again brought back to life. And then when the Pandavas, they wanted to rule the kingdom, then again, because of the plan of Duryodhana and Shakuni, they were tried to be killed in one of the kingdoms, the Lakshagraha, tried to be burned alive. There also, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, he protected them. And then again, Bhima was protected by Bakasur. And then, not only that, the entire Kurukshetra war took place because of one insult towards one of the greatest devotees of the Supreme Lord, and that was Mother Draupadi. Because they committed an offense, towards Draupadi by trying to strip her naked. A lady who was having an utmost chaste quality, whose hairs were bathed by the Rajasuya sacrificial water, that hair was touched by the most uncivilized Dushasana. And there also the Supreme Lord protected Draupadi by giving her completely without trying to dave. They were not successful in stripping her naked. And then further not that, even in the Agyatvas, when they were hiding themselves in incognito, there also the Lord protected, because Duryodhana had sent everywhere. And then not only that, in such a great battle of Kurukshetra, There again, the five Pandavas were protected. And here the Lord mentions to Arjuna, before the war could even start, he says, Arjuna, O Partha, I'll surely protect you in this entire battle. No one will survive other than you five Pandavas. This is the assurance of the Lord. See, imagine, sometimes people say that what is the Lord, how can he give so much troubles to his pure devotees? But here the Lord clearly declares that my Pandavas, O Arjuna, other than you, everyone will be destroyed. So this actually is realized by Arjuna in Bhagavatam, when Krishna ends his pastimes, that Arjuna, that time Arjuna remembers everything, that how the Lord especially protected him from the Kurukshetra war. He mentions to Yudhishthira Maharaj that my dear brother, you know, when we are fighting the battle of Kurukshetra, all these great warriors like Bhishma, Karna, Yuyutsa, Duryodhana, they were great powerful Timingalas, and I was just a mere fish. But somehow they are my Lord Janardana, he could protect me. What about just protecting? Not even a single arrow could touch my body. That was the protection of the Supreme Lord. So imagine, whenever the Lord declares it, it is not that Lord just boasts or just gives a flattery statement. He means by that statement that whoever surrenders to me, I'll but naturally protect him. But actually, really speaking, the Mahabharata mentions about the Pandavas gaining the kingdom till Maharaj Yudhishthira becomes the royal king. But there is one more, Jaimini Mahabharata and Vaishampayani Mahabharata, where what happens after the, what are the pastimes of the five Pandavas after the Kurukshetra war is also mentioned. There also the Lord, especially Arjuna was protected in many instances. That's why the bonding of Arjuna and Krishna is very strong. Especially, there's one particular instance where Yudhishthira Maharaj, under the guidance of Krishna, Krishna says to Yudhishthira that you perform Ashwamedha Yajna after the Kurukshetra war. And that time, Ashwamedha Yajna means you send in horse to declare your sovereignty over the entire universe. You send a horse to challenge, whoever wants to challenge your sovereignty, they should bind the horse. So that time Yudhishthira Maharaj, under Arjuna, he says, Arjuna, you go and take this mission of carrying this horse to all the kingdoms entire, all over the universe. So at this particular, during this episode, during this incident, there are many pastimes where Arjuna faced many trials and tribulations. And that time, Krishna, how he protected, there are many instances. Of course, I'll just quote few, one or two. Like Arjuna, when he was going to one of the kingdom, in the kingdom of Mayurdhwaj, there Arjuna, when he went, that time the son of Tamradhwaj, in fact he was also a very powerful devotee, he binds a horse, and that time Arjuna was shocked, and he says that how can you challenge the sovereignty of Maharaj Yudhishthira? You cannot challenge him. And Tamradhwaj says, no, I can do it. So, and in that war, there's a battle between Tamradhwaj and Arjuna, and Arjuna is completely defeated. And for a Kshatriya, defeat is worse than death. And that time again, Krishna intervenes, and there he consoles Arjuna. Arjuna, you don't know, this was my plan. And then he takes Arjuna to the kingdom of Mayurdhwaj, just to show the glory of Mayurdhwaj, that how Mayurdhwaj is such a powerful devotee. And then he comes to know why the Lord had done in such a way. And then there is one more instance where actually Arjuna had four wives. And one of the wife was Chitrangada. And this was long ago when Arjuna had gone in one of the exile. That time he had met Chitrangada and he had begotten a seed within a womb. And from that seed, a great warrior Babruvahan was born. But Arjuna had no much knowledge about that son. So when he had taken this horse on this on a trip for the challenging, whoever wants to challenge the sovereignty of Maharaj Yudhishthira, he comes to the kingdom of this particular place, that is in Nagaloka. It falls near the Assam area at present situation. So there, this Babruvahan, he catches and challenges the sovereignty of Maharaj Yudhishthira. So that time Arjuna didn't knew that this was his son. But Babruhan comes and gives his introduction that I am the son of Arjuna, and he says that I don't challenge Maharaj's sovereignty, but I accept his I accept him as my master, and I accept as a servitude. I accept his sovereignty. It is not that I challenge. So hearing this, Arjuna becomes completely dissatisfied. He says, impossible. You cannot be my son. You cannot be Arjuna's son. Had it been Arjuna's son, he would have bounded this horse and he would have challenged Maharaj Yudhishthira's sovereignty. Because from Arjuna comes Arjuna. Not a coward is never born. And for example, he says that from a lion is born, not a jackal or a fox. So I don't think you must be a son of an unkept mistress, or you may be a son of an unchaste lady. So that time hearing this words, Babruhan becomes boiled like anything. Because for a Kshatriya, when anything insult, he cannot bear it. Insult towards him is okay, but insult towards his mother, especially when you can see at present generation, if you insult someone, but if you insult someone, especially mother, then that is like beyond, it's like volcano. So Babruhan, when he hears that, how can you say that I'm a son of an unchaste lady? And he says, I challenge your sovereignty. You say such thing, I challenge. And then he says, come to the battle and we'll fight. I'll show how powerful I am. And then in that battle, Babruhan uses this Sarpastra weapon. And that weapon, Arjuna is killed. And that time, Arjuna is completely, his lifespan, life air is removed and he's fallen dead. And that time when he goes and tells his mother that I've killed this great powerful Arjuna to his mother. And that time says, Chitrangada says, you don't know who is he. He said, I know my mother, that he is my father. But no, you cannot do it. It was just to challenge your strength. And again, because they were belonging to the Nagaloka, Chitrangada gets him back to the life. And then, and here also the Lord, how he protects Arjuna. Actually, Arjuna is always protected by the intricacies of the mercy of the Lord. And there is one more instance. Of course, this particular instance, it doesn't come in any of the scriptures of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But it is spoken among the Madhvites, Madhva Brahmins. Because Madhva Brahmins, they consider Hanuman and Shripad Madhvacharya as Jivottama. Jivottama means the prominent among all the Jivas. So they quote one this particular story of the Pura from the Puranas, where there is a meeting of Arjuna and Hanuman. And this is an instance where again Krishna protects Arjuna. This is one of the Puranas, it quotes that once they Arjuna gets a chance to meet Hanuman, because Hanuman is Chiranjeeva. He is still there in this. We may not be able to see, but till the Ramayana is being spoken in this earthly planet, Hanuman is always existing. So when Arjuna and because Hanuman was in Treta Yuga and Arjuna was in Dwapar Yuga, but still Hanuman was there. So there was a chance where Arjuna could meet Hanuman. And that time Arjuna was, he said, I am blessed to see you. You are the same Hanuman who fought for Lord Ramachandra's battle. He said, yes, by Samodhya mercy, Lord Rama used me for his mission. So that time Arjuna, like just a sarcastic statement, he tries to just make a joke of Hanuman. He says, I don't understand why the Lord had to utilize the you monkey bands for building a bridge. His Kodanda bow was enough to build a bridge across the entire 1000 yojanas. I don't understand what was the need for he had to utilize all these monkeys and bears and everything. Maybe I think he wanted, you were idols, that's the idol monkeys, and he wanted to utilize it for some purpose. Maybe that's the reason. So hearing this, Hanuman feels a little bit insulted. He says that this is not just an insult for me, but it is an insult for the entire Vanarasena. And he says that I accept your statement, but before quoting a statement, one should have an authenticity. Do you have the authenticity like Lord Rama? Are you the powerful, are you such a powerful warrior like Lord Rama? If Lord Rama would have mentioned this statement, then I would have surely accepted it. But I don't consider your statement. You are just a mere warrior. And that time Arjuna becomes insulted, because for a Kshatriya such words are worse than death. And he says that what? How many months did you take for building a bridge? And Hanuman says that at least approximately a month. Month! I can build a bridge within the fraction of a second and within the blink of an eye. And said, and Hanuman that time he says that if you can build a bridge in the blink of a second or blink of an eye, then I can break your bridge within a blink of an eye. And that time Arjuna says, you challenge my warrior? And he said that I'll build three bridges. Let me see how much you can break. And he said, all the three bridges I'll break. And Arjuna says, if you break all my three bridges, then I'll jump into the fire. He says, whatever it may be, let us see the challenge. And that time Arjuna takes his bow and arrow, and chanting the mystic weapons and mystic prayers, he shoots one arrow. And just like it is mentioned in this verse, Savyasachi, with one weapon he could create many arrows. With one arrow he could create thousands of arrows. And within the blink of a second, about such a powerful bridge, about 1,000 yojanas was built. And Hanuman started laughing. And he said, you want to see my strength? And immediately, Hanuman didn't even take much endeavor. He just took one leap. And within one jump, the entire bridge collapsed into like mere stacks of hay or mere stacks of straw. Everything was completely destroyed. Arjuna was shocked. He said, how can this happen? And he took one more weapon. And he shot with more powerful strength. One more powerful bridge was built. And more powerful than the previous one. And that time Hanuman says, okay, you want to check my strength? And then he goes, and within one jump, again everything is destroyed. Arjuna is shocked. My powerful arrows that could destroy the entire Kuru dynasty. How can this powerful? Then with all chanting and everything, he took the third arrow, and he shot. And he built more powerful, most powerful bridge, which no, even the thunderbolt cannot destroy. And Hanuman, he remembering Lord Rama, he just went and he jumped. And to your surprise and to Arjuna's surprise, that bridge was destroyed. And then Arjuna was shocked. He said, because the words of a Kshatriya is like a line on the rock. And Arjuna was ready. Okay, I have given my word that I'll enter the fire. And then he built a fire. And then he was just about to take his three circle. That time, who comes? That time, one Brahmana comes. A Brahmana. And for your knowledge, he was disguised a Brahmin. He was not a Brahmin. And then he says, oh dear Kshatriya, what are you doing? Says that, my dear Brahmana, I have given a word to this monkey who is Hanuman. And I have given a word that if he breaks my three bridges, then I'll enter the fire. So he said, wait. Was there any person to witness your competition? Said that, no one was there. He asked Hanuman, so was there any witness? No one was there. So Achan, no one was there. So any competition, there should be a referee or a witness. Without witness, nothing can happen. So I'll bear the witness. You build one more bridge. And if this bridge is broken by him, then you enter the fire. So he said, is it so? Then the Brahman asked Hanuman, that do you agree? He said, yes, of course, I don't mind, because I know that I'll destroy this fourth bridge also. So then Arjuna, with remembering all the Supreme Lord, he shot one more arrow, most powerful bridge. And that time this Brahmana, he sends one divine weapon, Sudarshan, under the bridge. And then when Hanuman, with great force, when he jumps, the bridge is not destroyed. And there both they turn up and they come to know that this person cannot be other than the Supreme Lord Janardana. And that time Hanuman comes to know that, my Lord, I know that you are the Supreme Lord. Both the way the Lord had protected. Because this is the place where Arjuna, that's the reason I took this particular thing. Because here he says that, time and again I'll protect you, Arjuna, because you're my dear friend. And there is one more last instance, I'll end up with this story. There's one more instance during this Ashwamedha Yajna. Arjuna, when he takes his horse to one of the kingdom, that time he comes to the kingdom of Sudanva. This story is mentioned in Jaimini Mahabharata. Sudanva. Sudanva was a very great devotee of the Lord. So just because he wanted to test Arjuna's chivalry, he binds his horse. He takes this and binds his horse. So Arjuna says, you challenge Maharaj Yudhishthira's sovereignty? He says, yes, I challenge. He says, so then Arjuna says that, if I have got any amount of devotion to Krishna, if any amount of devotion, I'll kill you within 3 arrows. So Sudhanva said that if I got any amount of devotion to Lord Janardana, then I'll break all your 3 arrows. So then, now both the devotees have taken. Actually, this time, sometimes the Lord is also put in a perplexed condition when both devotees take a vow. So then, Arjuna, takes one powerful arrow and he shoots. So Sudhanva takes one and he shoots and he breaks that arrow. Then Arjuna is little perplexed because this is the condition. Arjuna is always in a helpless condition. He takes second arrow and then he shoots. Sudhanva takes one more arrow and he shoots and he breaks the second arrow also. Now Arjuna is completely perplexed because he has given a word. And then he takes the third arrow and he shoots. And Sudhanva also takes the third arrow and shoots. He shoots, he breaks that arrow and the broken arrow comes and kills Sudhanva. And that time when Sudhanva is about to leave, that time the Supreme Lord appears and says that Sudhanva, this is my plan. Because I wanted to protect both your word. Since you have taken a promise that you will break all your three arrows of Arjuna, I fulfilled your word as well as I fulfilled Arjuna's word. He said that he will kill you within 3 arrows. So this is what both the way the Lord protects. The main injunction I took from this purport so that I can just mention this story that this pastime, that how Krishna always protected Arjuna. Even at any situation, in any condition. So by this we can understand that the Lord is always the supreme protector. He never makes any false promises. Whenever he gives a word, he always protects his devotee. So only a devotee who has understood the truth, one who has understood the gist of the understanding, then he will see the time personified as a supreme personality of Godhead himself. And he will consider his life worthwhile by living completely in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Or I think that darshan time is about to open.